This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Vadaszewski.
Hello, this is the Inch Podcast, recorded Tuesday, December 22nd, 2009. My name is Joe Vadaszewski. We'd like to thank the presenting sponsor of the Inch Podcast, the 2010 Men's Frozen Four.
Effort, drive, and determination build champions. Be there April 8th and 10th at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan for the 2010 NCAA Men's Frozen Four, hosted by Central Collegiate Hockey Association and the Detroit Metro Sports Commission. For tickets, call 800-745-3000 or log on to ncaa.com/frozen4.
And here we are. It's the Inch Podcast, tucked nicely in the middle of the college hockey season. About a 10-day break for most teams, or even 3 weeks for some teams, as we kind of break for semester exams, holiday season, before the holiday tournaments kick off. As a result, we've got a little mid-season podcast here. It's myself, Joe Vadaszewski, and Mike Eidelbus. Hello, Bus.
Good winter. happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays, absolutely. If you're out on the roads, I hope you're traveling safely. If you're headed to some games next week, hope you enjoy those. There's a lot to talk about with the holiday tournaments, and we'll get to that. But we wanted to start with some first half impressions. And, you know, one of the big stories for me in the first half, Mike, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, but a lot of teams kind of came out of nowhere and had big starts. And then, you know, maybe toward the end of that run, kind of found the middle ground a little bit. I'm talking about Quinnipiac, Bemidji State, UMass Lowell in particular. You know, some of those teams that really had a very high peak, it's bound, you know, over the course of a five-month season and 35 games or so, you know, it's bound that you're going to find the middle ground a little bit. But that doesn't take anything away from what those teams achieved early on.
No, I agree. In fact, you know, you kind of look at the first half, and I think that those are the two most interesting aspects of what has happened. Is you know, I like to call it a half empty, half full scenario. You know, you've got the half full teams. You know, the ones you mentioned, Quinnipiac, Lowell. You know, throw Michigan State in there, yep. Colorado College in there. You know, got off to really hot starts, and you know, kind of dialed it back a little bit as we got to the midway point. But still, you know, you look at their first half records and what they've accomplished thus far. You know, far exceeding expectations for the most part. Then I just started jotting down some names of some teams who, quite frankly, have underachieved and not lived up to expectations, or maybe the expectations were just far too high for the talent and the team that they had. And you know, I'm thinking Minnesota, Michigan, Notre Dame, BU's got to be in there, and you know, Princeton.
Princeton
is another team, you know, who, you know, those five right off the top have not lived up to preseason billings. So, you know, I think more than ever, you know, this first half has been defined by that.
We've got to mention Ferris State, too, on the positive.
Yeah, Ferris State.
We're not trying to short anyone here, but
no.
A fantastic run.
Yeah, and they have yet to have the dial back that those, you know, they haven't had the setbacks that, you know, they dropped a couple early and have been on a roll since.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, that's kind of the defining moments, or the real pattern that we've seen over the first half is, you know, we've had some teams get off to hot starts and you know, maybe unexpected hot starts, and though they've leveled off a little bit, still, very good showings through the first half of the year. And on the flip side, we've had some teams that we've become accustomed to see, you know, putting up some good results, who have been disappointments thus far.
Yeah,
and not just minor disappointments either. I mean, Boston University, Yeah. I mean, that's a huge disappointment, I think. Obviously, you know, they're the defending national champs, and yeah, they lost a lot of guys, but they had a lot of key ingredients coming back. You know, Michigan, same way. Notre Dame, same way. You know, and Princeton. You know, these are teams that on paper are of NCAA tournament caliber, and they're well short of that that mark, at least at this point in time.
They are, and the difference, I think, or the similarity is, they can get to where they need to be with a good second half. You know, they haven't made it easy on themselves, and that's the problem. You know, you can play yourself into the tournament with 3 good weeks in March, but you know, you can also play yourself out of the tournament, and some of those teams have really come close to doing that. If you read Jeff Howe's Hockey East midseason report, he made a good point that, you know, we got to think that BU, you know, just because of who they are and what they have, we got to think that BU is going to be in the mix at some point this season. But then when you look at it piece by piece, what gives you hope that they are going to be? You know, what can you point to and say, well, you know, they haven't done this yet, or they haven't done this. Like, there isn't that one thing that you think, really, there's no source of confidence with that team right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We haven't seen a sign from them.
Right.
You know, even
with
these
other teams. I think Minnesota's shown a couple signs here and there, even Michigan a little bit. You know, Princeton had a good win at Lowell with a good goaltending performance. I don't know. I just the team to me that has the most to worry about right now is BU.
Yeah, I would agree. They've been completely inconsistent.
They're a point ahead of Providence, and Providence has a game in hand right now.
Yeah, and
that's the last place, not
exactly. And that's, you know, that's the other thing that comes into play is just the sheer number of teams within their old league that they have to vault over.
And Maine's playing better. New Hampshire's playing better.
Exactly, that's the thing. You know,
UMass is good.
You know, the
Merrimack's better.
That's exactly. Providence is better.
Yeah, they're not bad.
So. Yeah, you know, they've got their work cut out for them. There's no question, and they've had, you know, a number of different things plague them, not all at once. You know, they've had injuries. They've gone through bouts where they can't score. They've gone through bouts where they can score, but then give up more than they allow more than they can get.
Yeah,
and you know, and that's been in different stretches. It really hasn't all been at the same time.
Yeah, I saw. And I know it's a short sample space, but I saw 2 BU games on television, or online television, as it were, with a game against Cornell at Madison Square Garden and a Nesson game against New Hampshire. And I just couldn't really, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, I just couldn't really find anything to latch onto with that team. And that's not good. Not good at all. Two teams we haven't mentioned yet, Bus. And I guess this is good because we're talking about great surprises and great disappointments. These two teams were expected to be very good, and they have been very good. And those would be Miami and Denver.
Yeah, I think that they're easily the top two teams in the country and really have been that way since the start. And, you know, Miami is, from a consistency standpoint, you know, has been the best team from basically right out of the gate. You know, I think Denver has had some ups and downs, and you know, they got a little dinged up there too for a while when
Chevy was hurt.
Chevy was out, and then you know, Weirkosh has been in and out of the lineup. Colburn was out there for a little bit. I think if you know, if you put the two teams head to head, you know. Denver probably has the higher ceiling, but Miami has the better tendency of being of the consistencies. You know, they win that department. You know, and we had North Dakota in that group of three, kind of as the top three for most of the first half of the season.
Yeah,
and the Sioux have fallen back a little bit, and I don't think that it's. You know, they've had a lot of issues too with guys getting hurt.
Well, they lost Ganaway. I mean,
and they lost Ganaway, and
was probably at the time of his injury, he and Chebury probably the top two candidates for the Hobie.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, and you lose a guy of that caliber. That's tough.
Yeah, and there's been no indication as, you know, he's been out for, you know, more than half of the first half.
Yeah.
So.
You can't mess with head injuries like that, so.
No, it's a tough break. Since that point, they've really leveled off.
Yeah, they've been about a 500 team since mid-November, since Thanksgiving. You know, they lost two against Denver, 2-1 goal games. They're on the road. You know, no shame there. You know, they got a win and tie. split with Minnesota Duluth, tie and a loss to Wisconsin, you know. So they're playing good teams. I think their schedule, really, the time to take advantage of it is probably the first 3 weeks of January. They've got the Shillelagh tournament. None of these games are easy by any stretch, but, you know, they open against Niagara there. And then they've got Colgate and Notre Dame are the other two teams in there. You know, which I think North Dakota would be considered a pretty strong favorite among that group right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two at home against Minnesota State. Again, you know, not easy, but North Dakota should expect to get those games. And then they go to Minnesota for two and Cornell for two. So, you know, I think that those first four games of January could really set a tone. And then if they get some momentum and get those wins at Mariucci, that might be a good launching pad before they play Cornell, Denver, and St. Cloud, you know, and then Duluth and CC. So that's, they've got a pretty good bunch of games here. But, you know, you mentioned that Denver probably has a higher ceiling than Miami. When I watch this North Dakota team, I just, you know, I think goaltending is holding them back a little bit right now. And I think their upside is very strong.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean, I like, they got a lot of very good forwards. They've got defensemen. The guy is a little hard to, I guess, cheer for, if that's the right word to use. Probably not, but yeah, he's a tough guy to play against, is that Ben Blood.
Mm-hmm.
You can count on him for four pims a night, it seems like, and his stick is all over the place, and he's a big, he's a big dude, but, you know, if he's on your side, he's a pretty good asset.
He's got a little Nick Petrecki in him.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good comparison. That is a good comparison.
But he's making an impact, you know.
And he's scoring some goals. I mean,
he is.
On top of their power play and just doing some good work, so.
And I think the thing I like about that team the most is that, you know, and we've mentioned this on other podcasts, is they maybe don't have those high-end guys like they've had in the past, like the Taveses and the Staffords and the Zajacs, but I think their balance is much better, you know, 1-4.
I agree with that.
And on defense, too. I think their defense is improved. And obviously, that'll be better if they get Genaway, if and when they get him back. But, you know, I like that team. I really do. And yeah. I think, you know, once they get their goaltending settled, and Eidsness has been good but not superb, and I don't think
he started well. He struggled lately.
Yeah. And I don't think he has to be superb. That's, you know, he just has to be – he has to do his job. Yeah. That's probably the easiest way to put it.
Yeah, Hextall, I mean, Brett Hextall, there's a guy. Talking about their depth, you know, he's a guy who is dangerous most nights. He's getting some chances and making some plays. He's like 10th on their team in scoring, you know, and that's a pretty good indication of the types of players they have. I mean, I like Gregoire an awful lot. Guy we weren't very impressed with, and we can say this, Bus, because we weren't, last year at World Junior and talking to some of our people and putting together our recruiting rankings was Danny Christo, but he has been the primary beneficiary and has been, I think, excellent since the Genaway injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a point on their power play, and he seems to be confident and creative instead of reactionary. You know, he's trying to make plays, and his skill set is quite high. So he's been a big part for them and actually leads their team in scoring right now. He and Evan Trupp have 16 points apiece in 18 games, and, you know, they'll be without him for the next few games because barring a complete meltdown tomorrow morning by the USA hockey staff. He's going to be at World Juniors.
Yeah.
And he'll be a big, big part of that team. I think he really has a chance to shine on the World Junior stage. And having gone through it last year, even as kind of the 13th forward, not kind of, as definitely the 13th forward, you know, he's got a chance to be a big, big part of that team. And we'll talk about World Junior a little later on in the podcast. Let's turn our attention now to some of the holiday tournaments that are going on. These are kind of the last chance. You know, there's some series that are happening, such as we mentioned North Dakota and Cornell in January. But this is kind of the last time for cross-region games and non-league games. You know, and you've got some pretty interesting matchups, and these tend to affect the pairwise and the computer tournament criteria. When you're looking at, like, BC at Denver, you know, in the Denver tournament, and you're looking at Notre Dame and North Dakota potentially matching up, and you're looking at Colorado College and Cornell, you know, those kinds of games are really interesting, and they do mean a lot, even though it's kind of a funny deal. We're usually playing in neutral sites and, you know, against unfamiliar opponents after some long layoffs. But these games really do matter, and there's a lot of them out there that are worth watching. What do you have your eye on?
I think this slate is, you know, maybe doesn't have the BAFO matchups that we've had in some years past, but, you know, a lot of very interesting tournaments out there. And I think, you know, the two that really stand out in my opinion are the Denver Cup, just because you're going to see Denver play Boston College. You know, I don't, you know, my understanding is that's not a true tournament format this year.
It's a, you know, showcase type deal.
Yeah. The opponents are set. So Denver will definitely be playing Boston College on the second night of that tournament.
Yeah, January 2nd.
And, you know, and Nebraska, Omaha, and St. Lawrence are there too, you know,
who are
two better than average teams.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Badger tournament in Madison.
We talked about this on the last podcast.
Yeah, which is, you know, obviously when you set these fields, you don't really have a great idea of what you're getting, but this one, you know, you've got
kind of stuck up on people.
Yeah, you can argue that there are three teams in this tournament who, coming in, are, you know, arguably three of the teams playing the best hockey in the country. When you look at Ferris State, Yale, and Wisconsin.
Oh, I don't have a problem saying that. Yeah, definitely, those are absolutely three of the best teams right now.
Right now,
how they're playing. Yeah.
Yep. And then you throw a Merrimack team in there, which is vastly improved.
Yep.
You know, and you mentioned that, you know, these games are important because you get down the road, and these wins are going to count for a lot. But it's, you know, it's a good measuring stick for a Ferris State to get out there and play a Wisconsin or play a Yale in this type of environment, you know, because they don't, you know, at least this season, they haven't had the chance to, you know, play a higher-end non-conference opponent. I think they opened up with an Atlantic Hockey opponent and then played Union. You know, for a team like Ferris to get on a bigger stage and, you know, play in the setting of a Kohl Center.
Ferris opened with Canisius, UConn, and Robert Morris.
Yeah, that's
then Alaska, that's, BG, first two conference weekends.
It was not a strong slate to start out, but hey, you know, that's the way the schedule falls. But, you know, this will be a good test for them. It'll be a good test for Wisconsin, Yale, you know, and obviously Merrimack. It's a nice little field.
It is, and you know what? You make the point about Ferris. Regardless of what happens in these games, if it gets them ready, I mean, these are, you know, they've got that Badger showdown the first week of January, then the next 3 weeks in a row, there's no time, you know, no weekends off in between this, at Notre Dame, home against Miami, and at home and home with Michigan. You know, so if it gets them ready for those games, and they play well in that stretch of six games, they can, you know, more or less seal up a top four CCHA spot before the calendar hits February 1st. That's you know, worth considering and worth focusing on for a Ferris State team that's certainly very good right now.
Well, and the other thing I think about with that, and just kind of looking at this field, and, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, and I doubt that, you know, you'd ever get a coach to admit to saying this, but, you know, Ferris is at a point where they can obviously legitimately look ahead to being in the NCAA tournament. You know, they continue playing the way they're playing now, they're going to be there. They're going to be in the field. So, you know, they can look at something like this as sort of a dry run for a regional. I mean, yeah, got to play back-to-back, two good opponents. Yep. You know, there's going to be a lot of similarities, and I doubt that.
You'll be in a big rink, but it probably won't have that regular home ice feel because, you know, kids
yep.
are away.
Yep. So, you know, it'll be a good experience for those kids in that way. You know, same with Yale. Obviously, Yale was in there last year, but, you know, get them out of the East and get into a different setting and some teams that they haven't seen. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I think you can look at these experiences in that manner as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's what a lot of teams, I think, honestly try to do and try to get into these situations and tournaments and neutral site games. I know that's one of the big factors with Cornell scheduling BU, for example, at Madison Square Garden. You know, we want to give our kids the anticipation of what it's going to be like in bigger games down the road. So that's good. That Cornell team is good. They're kind of funny, but I don't know. I don't think they've come close to hitting their potential yet, and they're a top 10 team.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, I don't know. I get to see quite a bit of Cornell based on where I live, and it's you know, they're pretty good. I think they're the best team I've seen in my 8 years of covering ECAC hockey. The best team out of this league, you know. So.
There's been some good teams in there.
Yeah, there have been some good teams. But no great teams. Obviously, I mean, the last ECAC Hockey Frozen team was the 03 Cornell. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with them. But
and they've got a nice tournament coming up, too. So.
Yeah, that's a nice tournament. CC's good. To me, that's a proving ground tournament. I think we're going to learn about some teams there.
Yeah. You know,
is Cornell really a top five team? We'll find out at that tournament. Is Colorado College a product of their opponents or a product of how good they are? We'll find out at that team, you know, at that tournament. How about Maine? You know, same kind of thing. They're up near the top of Hockey East. They're a better team. They've got an unbelievable player in Nyquist and a couple others. But we'll see, you know, against that tournament. And we'll see what Princeton brings. I mean, that's the fourth team in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they're awfully good. I mean, they haven't been healthy, and they haven't had anything to build on. But, you know, they're the type of team that could beat any team any night. And, you know, maybe this is a chance for them after that win at Lowell, you know, to get on a roll here heading into the second half. So that's the proving ground tournament to me.
Yeah, and that could be a real springboard for Princeton, too, if they manage to put together a couple wins.
Right, right.
And I guess anytime you put Kalemba in goal, anything can happen. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of the best when he plays well. They're giving up too many shots. I think they're playing without the puck too much. You know, so we'll see what happens there. Let's
you know, the other tournament that I want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Were you going to bring up another tournament?
I didn't have one in mind, but I may be thinking about what you're thinking about.
Are you talking GLI?
no, I wasn't, but it's kind of a strange year for the GLI.
Yeah, it is, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, strange in the fact that, you know, Michigan isn't quite up to where they usually are. Strange in that Michigan's not losing anybody to the World Junior Tournament,
yeah,
except for maybe Brown. strange in that, you know, Michigan State comes in as obviously, you know, the favorite in the field. Also a strange invitee from the normal three with Rensselaer coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know,
missing a guy, you know. I mean, yeah. Who's the only team that's going to be missing guys at the World Juniors is RPI.
Yeah.
And Chris Brown of Michigan, perhaps. But yeah, that's kind of weird.
But I was just thinking about the that Michigan Rensselaer game. They play in the first round, and you know that could be a heck of a game. It could be a high scoring game.
Yeah, that's going to be that'll be worth watching. If you get Fox College Sports and Fox Detroit, check that out. That might be worth your time.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, I think both teams have some goaltending questions still, but even if their goaltending was superb, they have the lineups where they can score a lot of goals.
Yeah, and they try and they play that way. So
yeah, that's good. No question. You know, so that'll be an entertaining game. No question.
Yeah. The only, what you were talking about with the GLI was kind of what I had in the back of my mind with a note that we put in the Inch Power Rankings that the UConn Hockey Classic has more ranked teams than the GLI this year, with Union and UMass headed that way, so. With UConn and Bentleys. So
and they play in the first.
Well, yeah, they play the first round, so that's all right. Lowell's at the Dartmouth tournament. Not entirely sure. I'm trying to get some of these second weekend tournaments. Vermont's hosting tournament. So.
Oh, Minnesota's got their tournament.
Yeah, Clarkson's there. Who else?
Clarkson, Bowling Green.
Clarkson, BG, and yeah. That's right.
And that'll be, and I think, and I'm sure somebody will send us an email if I'm wrong, but I think that that tournament is when Jacob Seppis will be eligible to suit up for the Gophers.
Northern Michigan is the other team.
Michigan is the other team. That's right. The BG transfer, I think, will be eligible to suit up for the Gophers that weekend.
Bowling Green, yeah. First game is Minnesota Bowling Green. Yeah.
Ironic.
Oh, there you go.
I guess it's coincidence more than irony. Correct. Alanis Morissette screwed that up for me.
Yeah, that's true. World Juniors, we've mentioned it on and off throughout this podcast. Taking a look at some of the guys eligible to play for the U.S. team. the goalie Mike Lee from St. Cloud. Jack Campbell is a under 18, but he's bound for major junior, right?
Yes, switched from Michigan to major junior.
Yeah. One of the things that we talked about before we started recording was that, you know, usually you've got a handful of guys, you know, 5 to 6 who have played previous years in the World Junior returning to the lineup, you know, that kind of provide a little bit of experience and veteran presence. This year there's 3, if they all make the team, which I'm sure they will. And they're all forwards in Jordan Schrader, Danny Christo, and Tyler Johnson, who's a Spokane Chiefs kid. So you've got a lot of green dudes playing this year for the U.S. team. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And what about, let's talk about, you know, we can't talk about this without mentioning Dean Blaze. What kind of impact does he have on this?
That's a good question. I think it's an interesting year for the U.S. team. I think this is one of the few years where, or at least, you know, I can't remember a year where going into this event, I had less of a handle on what they're going to bring to the table. You know, they're young, but you have to also take into account that, some of these young guys were part of the team, the under 18 team that won gold last spring. So, you know, they're inexperienced at this level of the world championships, but they do bring,
they've, you know, been through it.
They're winners.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I think maybe we're looking at a team that might be a year away from really making a run, you know, and if they do it next year, that would be not a bad thing at all, with it being in Buffalo and all. You know, Lee got off to a pretty good start, kind of, he didn't falter so much, but, you know, he dialed it back a little bit as we got closer to the end of the first half. At St. Cloud, you know, Campbell has been really good on the international stage. You know, obviously last year's under 18 tournament, we saw that. You know, I don't have a good handle of, you know, maybe how these pieces are going to fit together. It's an interesting mix too, you know, breaking down the roster. You got 8 guys from Major Junior, 13 college kids, one AHL kid in John Carlson from Hershey.
He's a difference maker.
Who was absolutely a difference maker. He's played a little bit.
He's in the show this year. Yeah, he played two games, I think.
And a couple kids from Ann Arbor, from the development program. So it's, you know, it's an interesting mix. You know, I'm interested to see how Blaze puts these guys together.
Yeah. And the bigger picture with this tournament, you know, regardless of, you know, the U.S. roster, line combinations, chemistry, those kinds of things, you know, this tournament tends to send people in two ways. Either it pumps them up for the second half or it burns them out for the second half. And and one guy we've seen already in the pre-tournament games, Chris Kreider, he's a Boston College freshman. The U.S. team had played exhibitions against North Dakota Saturday night and earlier tonight, Tuesday, as we record this, against the Czech Republic team. And Kreider's got 3 goals in those 2 games. He only had 2 in this first 14 games for Boston College. So, you know, I don't know if it's comfort level maybe and getting together with some of the guys he had played, you know, in international tournaments before. But he's a guy who's kind of hot right now. So, good for him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this tournament. I think it'll...
I always do. I love this tournament.
Yeah, it's a great event. It's one of the best hockey events, really.
Yeah. You know what? We're in a really good spot right now. Think about this. Next 4 months, or 6 months, let's say. You've got World Junior for 2 weeks coming up here. Then in February, we've got Olympics. And then we've got NCAA tournament, Frozen Four, and then we've got Stanley Cup playoffs. Not too shabby.
No, this is a banner year.
I'm looking forward to this.
It's a banner year.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And I know we'll talk about the Olympics later on.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a little excited for the Olympics. It could be pretty spectacular.
It could be. It's always spectacular. I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. I thought 06 was a little bit of a disappointment, but I guess that's another story for another time. But, you know, going back to the World Juniors, you know, I think what we see maybe this year will give us a better glimpse of what the U.S. team might be next year. Cause you're going to see a lot of these same kids coming back.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of 91s and 92s on this roster.
Yeah. Yes, there is. But that's, you know, obviously Canada is going to be the favorite because they've won the last 5 in a row or 6 in a row or how many ever it is.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But, I don't get the sense that they're as strong this year as they have been in years past.
Well, you know, it's the thing that always impresses me about their team is, like, well, yeah, we're playing, but 5 of the kids who are eligible to play on this team are in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's like, all right. You Yeah, so that's kind of tough for them. But, you know, there were, I'm pretty sure it was three U.S. college players invited to their pre-tournament camp, and none of them made the team. Dylan Olsen, Minnesota Duluth defenseman, Weirkosh, and Louis LeBlanc from Harvard. So that's right, right?
Yep, that's it.
And none of them made the team. And to think with LeBlanc and Riley Nash, who was invited the last 2 years, didn't make the team, the current Cornell junior, junior class year, not Cornell junior selects or anything. you know, when it comes time for them to go to that camp, they've played about 10 college games in their year, especially because they come out of the Ivies. Whereas these kids from Major Junior have played 35 and 36 games. And I'm not saying they're not in game shape or game ready, but it's exposure.
Yes.
You know, they're watching these kids every weekend. And they're on TV and they're, you know, I can see, you know, Peterborough, Windsor, London, and Guelph, you know, on a given weekend all against each other and maybe see seven candidates from your team, you know, whereas Harvard has one Tuesday night game against Dartmouth that I might be able to catch, you know, if I go to Hanover, New Hampshire. So that's it's kind of a different situation.
So. Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's a very interesting point. So I don't know. I don't know much about.
You know what? There's another point I want to make. For people who say that they're biased against the college kids on this team, how are you going to criticize this team for how they pick their team when they've won 6 gold medals in a row?
Yeah, exactly. We got that.
That was a point made by North Dakota Sports Information Director. So
yeah,
and Winnipeg native.
See, Winnipeg or is he a Sask boy?
I'm not sure.
Someplace in the land of waving wheat out there. But yeah, I mean, it's a good point. How can you can't really criticize the Canadian selections, you know, because they win.
Right on. Well, we're about to wrap this up. Little quick podcast here. Oh, one more World Junior thought I wanted to make. Made this note here. Watch the tournament. Even if you're not watching the U.S., watch these games. You're going to see unbelievable hockey and unbelievable talent. These kids are going to be first-round draft picks, a lot of them in a lot of different countries. Names you're going to know for the next 15 years of their careers. I mean, if anybody watched last year and saw John Tavares for Canada, you knew he was going to be the number one pick, and you knew he was going to be dominant, and he is. He's an unbelievable player, you know, for the New York Islanders. So take time to watch these. And now, I mean, you got guys like Taylor Hall. This year is a big name to watch for Canada. He'll be a top 5 pick likely at this summer's entry draft. You know, Victor Hedman last year for Sweden, obviously the number 2 overall pick. So
I'm thinking even all the way back to Grand Forks when Ovechkin played for Canada or for Russia.
Oh yeah, Ovi and Malkin played on the same line
in Grand Forks.
Yeah, so definitely watch his games. Another guy to watch, Ryan Ellis, Windsor Spitfires defenseman. He'll be on Team Canada. He moves the puck pretty well.
Yeah, that Windsor team was something else last year. Yeah,
they were good. So,
NHL
Network, folks. If you don't have to get the NHL Center Ice package to get NHL Network, so check your sports packs on your satellites or digital cable. And if you're not getting it, it's not too much to add. And believe me, with NHL Network especially, if you can get to it, they've got about 20 college games the second half of the year that they're showing. They've got tons of World Junior coverage, and their Stanley Cup playoffs coverage is fantastic. So.
And most importantly, Hockey Night in Canada from CBC. Canada,
early game.
At least they got the early game.
Early game.
Who's the guy from Canada that you were sour on last year?
Delarovere?
Yeah.
Yeah, Caps draft. He'll be back on that team this year.
Yes, he will. I couldn't remember his name.
He, yeah. He's not fun to watch. So.
I just wanted to get that. Thanks.
Thanks to all my friends in the Caps organization for throwing me under the bus on that one.
No, I just remember
it was a mess. It was embarrassing.
It wasn't just you.
Oh, I know. It was like even the TSN guys were killing them, and they're waving plenty of Maple Leaf flags around during this. The coverage, also, you know, when you're watching these games, go into it with that mindset that this is a huge deal in Canada, and it's the coverage tends to sway toward the patriotic, let's say, at times. So
there really is.
He shoots up awful penalties. Awful penalties.
Yeah. He was just kind of running around.
Got to play on the edge, but he didn't. The line was far behind where he was treading. So anyway, yeah, he'll be back on this team. Cody Hodgson not on this team, injured. That's tough. So, and Taylor Hall actually got a bump in last night's exhibition game for Canada against Sweden. So there you go. Yeah. Before we get to last call, I guess, as much as we don't like to do this, everybody get out your pens and papers so you can write to us and tell us how foolish we were in 3 months from now. Give me, Bus, pick your Frozen Four right now. Who are your four teams you expect to see at this year's Ford Field Mega Gala event?
Well, I think we've got to go with Miami. You know, they've been the best team.
I agree with that. Miami's in mine. Miami's in Brussels.
I have a hard time going against Denver.
I agree with
I think
that.
They've, you know, my high ceiling. And they got bounced last year early. And
yep.
I think that's still sticking with them a little bit. But, you know, I'll qualify that. You know, Chevrolet can't get hurt. If he's hurt, then, you know, Denver's chances are reduced greatly. I want to go with North Dakota. I think that, to a certain degree, hinges on Genaway coming back.
I think it hinges more on Eidsness.
Yeah, I think you can make that case too, but you know they're a far different team when Genaway's there. You know they're just that much more dangerous. And for the fourth team, you know, at first I was going to go with Yale because I think I've liked the way that they've played. Mm-hmm. But you know, Boston College is kind of coming on, and they've been kind of quiet about it. But you know, really over the last four to six weeks, they've been playing some really good hockey. I think I'm going to go with BC.
So you got Miami, Denver, North Dakota,
and BC.
And of course, North Dakota and BC will play because they always do. I'm kind of in four teams for those last two spots. You mentioned North Dakota and BC, and that, you know, yes. We'll obviously have to see what happens when it comes down to the tournament time, but. It's kind of a funny thing. It's like if you had to pick the teams that would get to the Frozen right now, I would think of four teams just in terms of winning the first weekend. But if you had to name a team that would win the whole thing, I might go with like North Dakota, who I don't know who I would trust to win the first two games. But
yeah, exactly. You
know, they have that potential and that upside. So I'm between North Dakota, BC, Cornell, and Wisconsin. And I just – with the way Wisconsin's playing right now, I just – they're not letting up any goals. I mean, they got 38 goals against in 18 games. You know, 73 goals for. Was that 45 goal differential?
Oh, yeah.
35 goal differential?
35.
That's unbelievable. You know, and you got Jeffrey on. And the way they're playing now, they're on a roll right now.
That's, yeah, you know, and we should really bring that up. He's been outstanding. Blake Jeffrey on has been.
He's got 14 goals.
Phenomenal.
All right, give me Miami, Denver, Wisconsin, and Cornell with North Dakota to win the whole thing.
That's a lot of red there, by the way.
Let's not get into that. We tried that once before.
And one crimson. Yeah. That's the end of that.
One maroonish Denver Pioneer.
But
yeah, I think those teams are there.
We really haven't touched a lot on Wisconsin. We got to get more into Wisconsin here as we progress. But they've been, and Jeffrion's been amazing.
Yeah, you know, I've seen him play. We talked about it a little bit at showcase time when you saw him.
That's a really good team.
Yeah, I've been pushing them up the inch power rankings.
They don't, you know, maybe they. Boy, they're tough. They're tough. I was gonna, you know. I think if they're firing on all cylinders and Denver's firing on all cylinders, I'm not so sure that Wisconsin doesn't win that.
I'm calling in sick to work to watch. I know that.
No kidding.
It's going to be great stuff. So, all right. Any deterioration? Holiday greetings? Shout-outs?
Let's hope this freezing rain holds off. I got to get to Wisconsin tomorrow.
Well, you're hitting the road tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll be trekking through the hills of upstate New York, so not too bad. Just got to dodge the lake effect snow.
It doesn't snow there.
Yeah, no. How about D.C. and Philly just getting totally collapsed?
Hey, better them than us.
True. True. Hope all of our listeners in those parts enjoyed their snowmen making. And federal holidays because they can't plow the streets for 5 days.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. I had the... You know, we didn't have much snow here, but it's always nice to get the snowblower out for a run.
Yeah, it cranked up.
Just before you get a big dump, just to make sure it works. So I took it out the other day, this past weekend, and I'm blowing snow, and I'm like, I'll just go do the neighbors too. Why not? Then I have to go the other way, and I'm like, I'll do part of the neighbors up that way too. And I got to thinking to myself, how come snow blowing is so much fun, but yet lawn mowing, which is basically the same procedure, yeah, is just miserable?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's because, I don't know if it's because the snow shoots out of the,
Definitely out of the big, more aesthetically pleasing.
Well, yeah, you know, out of the big thrower, you're shooting snow. Maybe if the grass shot out of a big tube, it would be more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to call the folks at – call the boys down in R&D and see if they can get something figured out.
The chimney stack mulching.
That's what I need, the big baler on the back.
So there you go. All right. Well, from everyone here at the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast and all of our staff and families, we wish everyone happy holidays, happy hockey season. Enjoy the holiday tournaments. Once again, we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, the 2010 Men's Frozen Four, hosted by the CCHA and the Detroit Metro Sport Commission. For tickets, call 1-800-745-3000 or log on to ncaa.com/Frozen Four, and of course the Frozen Four, April 8th and 10th at Ford Field in Detroit. For Mike Ottobus, this is Joe Gladyszewski, and thank you for listening to the Inch Podcast.